Well, before I started tonight, the message part, like the meat, the meal, okay, I wanted to do what I like to call an appetizer. It's like, you know, the meal before the meal, the little one. I love an appetizer, by the way, at a restaurant. It's a good restaurant, like chips and salsa. If it's a free appetizer, it's the best, okay? That's why I like Mexican food so much, because, you know, I judge a Mexican restaurant based on the chips and salsa, right? But I also like their restaurants with free bread. I don't know why bread tastes better at a restaurant, but when I'm in a restaurant, can I have more? I ate 1,000 calories of bread before the meal. So I'm going to give you the message before the message, and here it is, just real simple. Okay, when you're reading the word or you're listening to someone teach from the word, okay, teach the word, and the Lord highlights something to you, you need to pay attention to that. Because this happens, and not every time you read and not every sermon, okay, but there will be times you're reading something and it's like a word, a phrase, something just went, oh, to you. Has anybody ever experienced this? Okay. And when that happens, you need to pay attention to it. And there's some things that you need to do. Okay. In James 1:25, it says, don't just hear the word, but be doers. Or that's in 23. And then 25, it says, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, it continues to do this. What does it mean to look intently? Not just hear it, but to think about it, to meditate on it. So, when you're reading a passage and God like highlights something, or you're listening to a sermon and God highlights something, the first thing you do is you look intently, you think about it, you meditate on it for a moment. Why did you highlight that to me? What was the point of that? Like you need to, and then it says this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it. Here's so important. God will highlight something to you in a service. And if you're not careful, by the time you get home, you'll have forgotten that he made a point to you about something. And what happens is the thing that he was trying to do becomes fruitless. And that's so important when we're coming to do this, or when you go to your word to read, that you don't forget it. But then it says, if you don't forget and you do it, then you're blessed in what you do. You want to be blessed by God. He's going to do this. He's going to highlight stuff. So a couple weeks ago, I was reading in James, just a couple verses before the one we just read. And it says this, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, I've read that passage before. Nothing, just kept going. I've read that passage before, and it's like he pointed out this, accept the word of God. And I'm like, is there something I'm not? But this last time, a couple weeks ago, I was reading this, and it's just as I read, get rid of all moral filth. Just moral filth, just it's like God said, pay attention to that. And I'm like, moral filth, why? And so I'm just thinking on that phrase, moral filth, moral filth. Are you going, you got a lot of moral filth in your life? and here's the deal. I just, as I was thinking on that, then as like the Lord revealed to me, how comfortable I've gotten with, anybody have like reels on Facebook that you look at? Am I, you know, shorts on YouTube? Some of you are like, nope, don't touch it. Some of you are like, yep, spend too many hours on it. Okay, so I like to know some during my day. And how comfortable I've gotten with just junk in there, okay? And the truth is, some of it is moral filth. I mean, it's Facebook. It can't be that bad, right? But then when the Lord said, I want you to work on your algorithm. Did you know that you can work on your own algorithm? And so I started doing this 2 weeks ago. If something is inappropriate at all, I hit the button, I hit not interested. And it is amazing how that has changed what I view every single day when I look at these things. And look, here's what I saw. The Lord wanted me to make an adjustment, so he brought something out of the word that I wasn't expecting. But if I would have ignored it, he couldn't have brought the blessing and the change. Now, I mentioned that. That's the pre-message. I hope you're not full, okay? I sometimes get full on the chips and salsa. It's unfortunate. But the good thing is then I just bring my meal as leftovers for eating later. So I want to get to the message. And actually, the reason I did that is because the message that we're going to do was another one of those moments. It was about a week and a half ago, or 2 weeks ago. I was reading this passage, and a phrase came out. And by the way, when you're a preacher, you go, Lord, is that for me or for me to preach? I mean, or, you know, or both, but like, and this time I felt like it was something I was supposed to teach. I didn't even know it was going to be to y'all. I was just sitting on it, waiting, and then pastor asked me to preach, and I was like, oh, I guess it's for them. Okay, and so we're going to look at this, and it's in Matthew 25. So if you brought your Bible, Matthew 25, you can turn there, and it's great to bring your Bibles so you can look at it in your own and mark things that stand out to you. In fact, I marked this in my Bible. And as you're turning, I want to ask you something. Have any of you ever borrowed something? There's the rain. It came. Yeah. anybody ever borrowed something like expensive from somebody else? You know, like maybe you had to borrow a car. I had to do this one time. I hate borrowing somebody's car. I just feel so uncomfortable the whole time. Like, I don't know its boundaries and all that very good. I don't want to damage it. And then you don't want to like eat in it. I mean, if you get a hamburger and get a greasy smear on your own car, that's your own car. But it's somebody else's car. You got to treat it, right? You want to treat other people's things like it's special. One time I had to borrow somebody's car, okay? But when I returned it, I made sure there was not a crumb left. I made sure I had a full tank of gas, right? Because it's not mine. And I was being responsible with what they entrusted with me. Or my friend Dayton, he just loaned me a saw to finish remodeling my house. And I say finish remodeling because we've been remodeling it for like 10 years. And now that we're moving soon, we got to sell it in a few months, it's time to finish. Y'all know what I mean? It's for the next people. We haven't had baseboards in my bedroom for 2 years, okay? Just because I replaced the floor and never did the baseboard. So they're there now. My poor wife, she just puts up with it. So he loaned me the saw. You know what? I finished with it. You know what I did right when I finished? I cleaned it. I cleaned it. I think it's cleaner than it was when he brought it over. And that's the deal, right? Because he entrusted me with it, and I'm taking care of it, right? And here's what I want us to see, and what you're going to see as we read this passage together, is that God has entrusted you with things, and that we have a responsibility to do something with them, to take care of them, and to treat what he's given us. And so we're going to look in Matthew 25. We're going to start in verse 14. Jesus tells this parable, and it's kind of a long parable, and there's no good way other than to just read through it, okay? And so many of you may have heard this parable before, but we're going to go through it starting in verse 14. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey, and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. Now, the word entrusted was the word that God just brought out to me. When I was reading it, just realizing that God has entrusted me with things, and he has entrusted you with things. Do you realize this? We're going to talk about what some of these things are, but God has entrusted you with some things. Now, he says, and it's his property. He's entrusted you with things that are his. And so we need to be careful with them. We need to treat them right. He says he's entrusted his property with them. So we're going to get to this question, but here's a question for you to think about as we read. What have I been trusted with? What has God trusted me with? Okay, next verse. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another one, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, talent is not singing, dancing, and, you know, throwing ball or whatever. Talent is, as it says it in there, it's a unit of money. It's a weight of money. And there's all different things, whether it was silver talents or gold talents, we don't know. Here's the thing. It wasn't either. It's a parable. It didn't actually happen, okay? But the point of it was, okay, I can tell you this about a talent, whether it was silver or gold, it was a lot of money, okay? Some say up to 10 years of salary, okay, for 1 talent. So it was a lot of money, okay, that he gave to each of these people, 1, 5, 1, 2, and another 1, 1. And again, some people will go, well, that's not very fair. 1 gets 5 and 1 gets 1. That's not fair. And again, it didn't happen, okay? This is a parable, okay? But also, even if it did, you will see he made a good decision, right, when he did this, and it's his. It's the master's money. It isn't theirs. He can do with it what he wants, okay? He can give this one or that one. He could do what he wants with it. And so he gives these talents, this money to these people. The man who received 5 talents went at once to put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Which, before we even read any further, you can already tell that guy did something wrong, right? You can just tell. It's different. There's something wrong there. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. So he's taken these 5, bags of money, okay? And he's gone and he hasn't used them. He's invested. I don't know if he started a business. I don't know what he did, but somehow he has now got 10, okay? He's turned that 5 into 5 more. And listen what the master says. And let's remember, the master is representing Jesus. The master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Would you like Jesus to say that to you?
Yes.
Okay. "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." First of all, I want you to see this. He was faithful with what the master says is just a few things. And when he's faithful with a few, then what happens? He's not just given more, he's put in charge. Now he's not just things, now he has authority, okay? He's given authority over many things, and then it says he's gonna share in his master's happiness. So here he is just faithful with this, whatever the Lord had given him, and from that, the Lord is blessing him even more and more and more abundantly. This is a principle of how God works in our lives, that we are faithful with little things that he gives us, and you will see him blessing you with more and more. In this case, with authority and with his master's happiness. Then it says, "The man with 2 talents also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. Verse 23, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share in your master's happiness." This is interesting. I just want to point this out. One guy got the master 5 more talents. One guy got the master 2 more talents. This guy got him way more. Okay. They both got the same blessing. Do you see that? Okay. They both are put in charge of many things. They both are sharing in the master's happiness. And we can tend to start looking at that person and go, "Look how much they're doing. Look how much they have," and think, "Oh, I can't ever do that much. I can't," whatever. Okay. Whatever God has given you, however much or little, if you're faithful with it, you get the blessings. You will get to share in the master's happiness if you do these things. Okay. Then, now this is where the soundtrack changes in the story. Okay. And like, me and my wife, we like watching Law and Order, like the old one, you know, like from ages ago. And it always starts the same. There's these people like walking in Central Park in New York, and they're having a good time, and the music's happy. And then the strings come in. You're like, well, they're about to find a body, okay? And you can always tell like about 30 seconds before because the music changes, right? And in this moment, it would be like, dun, 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 okay? Because things are about to get bad, all right? It says, the man who received 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed." scattered seed. "So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." And I'm going to get to what the master replies, but I just want to point out, when we are not fulfilling the responsibilities that God has put on our life, we come up with excuses. This is what everyone does. When we are not fulfilling our, well, this is, you know, I couldn't because, and I've got this reason, and da, 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 and there's always reasons that are actually excuses that we make, and that is what he does. And now, I've seen and read, and a lot of people want to say, well, yeah, the reason he didn't is because he feared the Lord instead of loving the Lord, but I actually think that the real problem is that he's just lying about his real reason, because the master tells him his real reason, okay? And the master says it right here. He says, the master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant." Wicked, okay. His thinking was twisted. He was focusing on, I don't know what he was focusing on, his own life. He had this opportunity to do something big with what God or his master had given him, and his twisted was so thinking that he thought, "I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to do anything with his. I'm just going to bury it and be done with it." His thinking was twisted, and he says he was lazy. He was not willing to put forth the effort to do what the master wanted. And I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of Christians that just want to be a Christian and go to church for an hour a week. Isn't that what being a Christian is? Go to church for an hour? Oh, well, you're the Wednesday crowd. 2 hours, all right? And like, we're going twice a week. Isn't that what it is? But no, it's so much more. He has responsibilities. I don't want any responsibilities. That's what Christians have. Servants have responsibilities. We're his servant, and you have responsibilities as a follower of Christ. And if you want to share in his happiness, you must go and fulfill the responsibilities that he's put on you. So he says, the master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. He's like, oh, you just told on yourself. You knew that I expected you to do more with this, okay? You knew that I was not thinking you were going to bury it in the ground, that I gave it to you for a purpose. He already knew that. You should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. It's like, how hard was this? You just had to ride your camel into town, okay, and put it with the banker. I mean, come on, a little effort. All you did was walk out by the house and bury it, and it's like you wouldn't even do this little simple thing for me. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. Now, a lot of people want to get hung up on, that doesn't sound fair. Taking it from him and giving it to the one that has a bunch. But I don't want to get stuck on that because that's not who I'm going to be. Do you want to be the one that's getting it taken away from? Okay, let's focus on this. Everyone who has will be given more and they will have abundance. Do you want to be the one with abundance? Okay, that's the one we want to be. So I want you to know this. When you're faithful with what God's given you, you will be the one with abundance. So let's live that way. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping is sorrow. Gnashing of teeth is frustration or anger. And some of you have been bringing your teeth together. I've seen my son stuff in the other room. He's so frustrated because I've made him eat that hamburger and I can't believe it, you know. And you've gnashed your teeth together, okay. That's what he's talking about is there. If you do not fulfill the responsibilities God has given you, and we'll talk about some of those, you will get down the road, and you're going to look back, and you will either have sorrow because of the missed opportunities, the lost things in your life, the people you could have reached, the family member that you betrayed. You'll have sorrow or frustration with yourself and anger. You'll be gnashing your teeth that you didn't fulfill the responsibilities that God has given you. So here was the two options. You share in the master's happiness or sorrow and gnashing teeth. I want to share in this. This is an easy choice, right? Okay, now, I'm not pretending like this easy, but what we want to learn is how to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given us. So here's my big question. What has God entrusted to you? He entrusted to them talents of money. What has he entrusted to you? So here's what entrusted is. Entrusted is an action. Trust is something you can feel. I feel trust. Entrusted is an action, meaning you have officially delegated a specific and valuable task, responsibility, or item to someone else. You have trusted them with it. You have delegated something, and it's a valuable thing. It's a responsibility, okay? And I want you to see that God has entrusted to you certain things in your life. And so I'm gonna go through a few of these together and get you thinking. So the first one I want to ask is what things you could touch, okay? Physical things matter. Matter matters to God, okay? What things has God entrusted to you? What physical things? Now, before I talk about those things, I want us to recognize something about everything that you own. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Okay. Everything you have is the Lord's. That is a very important thing to begin to understand in our minds. My house, my car, my bank account, everything I have, even my own life, body, all of it is his. Now that changes your thinking about things. So when you ask yourself, what things have God entrusted you with? Well, everything I have. And by the way, it's also a very freeing thing when you realize that. Because I've owned my house now for 15 years, a little over, and I love owning. But there is one thing that was great about renting. When something broke, it wasn't my responsibility, you know? So a couple years ago, in the middle of the summer, my AC just went, it was done. It did not work anymore. Had to be completely replaced. Whole thing taking a hole in it. Nobody came to pay for it, right? I was like, it was me, and I was responsible for it because I was the owner. And here's what I want you to see. When you have a landlord, they're responsible. Okay, we have a Lord. And when things are not going well, you need to know this. He's responsible. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of all this. It is a very freeing, peaceful thing when you realize you have a Lord that's in charge of it all. But you also have to realize that none of it's mine. It's all His. But it's good that it's His. Okay, so when you realize that He's your Lord, you realize that it's all His, and you need to realize that He's entrusted you with it. So let's get where nobody likes to talk. Let's talk about money. And the whole parable, the example was money. Now, that's not all that it's about, but He certainly has entrusted us with things and with money and with income. So in this room, we have some of you. You might call yourself like a two-bag, you know, two-talent of money. You're like, yeah, I've got a pretty, you know, average amount, maybe two. Okay, and some of you are like, he gave me like the 0.5 bag. Like, I don't have like hardly any. Okay, that's me. It's somebody feeling that one. I don't know if we have any five-talent people in here. Okay, you're talking like, you know, tons of money. I don't know. Maybe that's you, and you're like hiding it. Okay, but I don't know where you are, but here's what's really important to understand. You are only responsible for what God has given you. You're only responsible. Okay, so if you have a person, let's say they make $10 million this year, and for them to tithe would be $1 million, right? And so they come, and they're like, you know what? I got all this stuff. I'm going to give $300,000 this year. Wow, that would be a lot to the church. That'd be a lot to the church. You know what I'm saying? That'd be game-changing to the church. They gave $300,000. They could have given $1 million. They should have tithed $1 million. But you know what? $300,000, that's still a lot. Then you have somebody who can only give $5,000. That would be their tithe. And they came, and they gave that five. In fact, they saw that kid needed to go to youth camp. So they paid their way, and they gave $5,300. Who was faithful before God? The one who gave $5,300. And if you don't believe me, you just need to go read Luke 21:1, where Jesus talks about these people coming, and they're bringing all this wealth. Just read it. You can read it yourself. They're bringing all this wealth, and then this lady comes with two pennies. It says two copper coins. It puts them in. It says she gave more than all of them. She was faithful because that was all that she had. She gave out of her lack, and they were just given a little extra they had. Okay, and here's what I'm saying. I don't know what God has given you. If it's a whole lot, guess what? You are responsible for a whole lot. And if it's a little, you're responsible for what God's given you. To not, and it's, here's the thing, it's all His. And yeah, we serve a good God. He loves for us, I believe, to have joy and to have things and to live in a house with air conditioning. Thank the Lord, okay? Like, He wants good things for us, but also it's not all for you. If all your money is going for you, you are using it wrong. It's not all for you. He has given us and blessed us with abundance so that we can make a difference in this world and use it for His kingdom. And you need to have this in your thinking when you get paid. This is not all for me. Some of this is for His kingdom and needs to be used for His kingdom. I have been tithing since I was 7 years old. And I'll tell this story again to the whole church in a bit, the Sunday morning, so y'all just get be okay with it. I wasn't even planning, it just came to my mind. So when I was 7 years old, my granddad gave me $10. And he said, that now one of those dollars is the Lord's. I was 7 years old. I remember where I was. Now, why did my granddad give me $10 and then tell me to give a dollar to the church? Because the church needed that dollar, right? No. Because he wanted me to learn at 7 years old how to trust the Lord with my, God has entrusted me with things and to give to Him. Yeah, I learned it from that age, and I have tithed since I was 7 years old. 10% of everything I've been given by the Lord. Okay, because it's His. And here's the thing, we need to learn to give to the Lord. To give it to His ministry and to be a part of what God is doing in this world financially. What are you doing with the things God has given you? Are you, here's one more, last thing I'm going to talk about when it comes to money, okay, because no one likes it. Are you stewarding your money well? Are you taking care of it? See, a lot of people can't give because they're not stewarding what they have well. Okay, if I had a business and it was growing and I couldn't keep up with it, so I hired you to come be my accountant or bookkeeper. Some of you, that would be a big mistake, but let's just say you're good at accounting, okay? You're good at math, okay? And you come in and you're helping me run this and you're taking care of the finances and I'm doing this other side. And then after a few months, I go to cash a check and it bounces. And I come to you and says, what's going on? Where's the money? And you say, I don't know. You think I'm going to keep you as an employee, being my accountant? I don't know where the money is. Like, either you are doing something illegal or you are... If you're not smart, all right, there's something going on. This would not, if you do this with a business, you're fired. And yet, so much of the time when people are struggling, and I'm not trying to make fun of you, if you're struggling, I want you to hear this is what it is. And I was to come to you and say, well, where is the money going? Much of the time when you have these conversations, people say, I don't know. It's just gone at the end of the month. You should know. You're not stewarding your money well if you don't know. In fact, if you look right here on my phone, okay, I have this app. It's a Dave Ramsey app, okay, and I can sit here and I have every single thing that I'm spending and how much I have on each category and all of that right here, okay. And I'm not going to show you all my numbers, but I can sit here and I can. There's my giving. There's my savings for my emergency fund. My water bill last month. Okay, I have all this, and you know what? I looked and I noticed that one bill was getting too high. And I was like, you know what? I made a phone call and lowered my car insurance by $400 this year for one phone call. Now, that's because I noticed that something's not right. Some of you have no idea. That is not stewarding what God has given you well. You need to know and take care and pay attention. And if you do that, guess what? Tithing is easy because I already have it built in. 10%'s there, I'm gonna do that, and that's a part of it, and it's all planned out, and I know where it's going. If you don't know, you're not stewarding what God has given you well. You're not taking care of it well, and you need to make a change in how you handle your money so that you can use it to further the kingdom of God. And last thing I'll say about it is, you know, there are some people that are gifted to make a lot of money. And maybe that's, wouldn't you wish you had that gift? Like, they're just, I don't know how it is. I just meet them, like, how do you do this? Okay. If you have that gift, steward it well. Remember, it's not just so that you can have more and more and more. If he's given you the ability to make, he's given you the ability to give. And you need to ask the Lord how he wants you to spend that for his kingdom. Speaking of gifts, this is the next one. What gifts have God entrusted you with? God has given every person in here different gifts and different giftings to further his kingdom. And here's what it says in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Every person in here, I don't know you, all of you, but I know this, God has given you a gift to serve others. God has given you a gift to minister, to help, to touch others. And these gifts are dramatically different. See, God gave me a gift to teach. I noticed it when I was in middle school. People are like, man, you're good at helping people understand things. He gave me a gift to teach, and I need to use that for him, okay? But a lot of times we look at the upfront gifts and think, well, if I had one of those. But there are so many different gifts. Gary Rustin has the gift of talking to people, okay? He can talk to anybody, all right? It's just easy for me. I've noticed that, I do not have that gift. I can talk up here, but when I go to the store, my goal is to not make eye contact with anybody, okay? I just don't even like it. I went to Walmart, and I hate going to Walmart, but I went to Walmart two weeks ago, and I'm in line, and I'm just keeping my head down, and this lady cut. And then this other lady who was with her goes, did you cut in front of them? She goes, no. And so I said, yes, she did. I broke my rule because I was like, she just cut in front of me. And they had a whole basket. And I had one thing, literally one thing. And she goes, oh, I did not. And I said, well, I was here and you weren't. And she walked up to me and she goes, I'm a Christian and Jesus is going to get you. And then she just walked off to another thing. And I was like, that's why I don't talk to people. All right. And I got to thinking, Gary would have had them, her repenting right there in the aisle. I guarantee, all right? She would have been, okay, it would have been totally different. I almost said, I'm Pastor Jonathan. I'm glad. Anyways, everybody has different gifts. I got another Gary across the aisle, all right? He has the gift of barbecue, all right? And it is a good gift. And every time we have a church thing, who do I call? I say, hey, will you cook for this? And our whole church gets blessed by it, okay? We're going to have our church cookout. And I know the burgers are going to be delicious, okay? And because I hope you're going to be cooking. I didn't even ask you. Okay, I just assume you're going to do all that hard work, okay? But here's the thing. God's given him a gift. And it's a blessing for the body of Christ. He's using that gift to serve others. I've known people that had a gift of being a foster parent. They took in kids and helped them through a tough time of their life. Some people I knew ended up adopting them. But you know what else? There's so many that have some gift that God's put on them, a desire God's put on them, and then they just neglect it. And there are kids that would be fostered by Christian parents if their parents would take on their responsibility. I'm not saying you need to be a foster parent, but some of you, maybe God put that on your heart and you just got busy and got going after other things and neglected it. There's people that need to be serving in some area in the church and you've neglected it. And if you will take on the gifts and responsibilities that God's put on you, do you remember what happened? They were put in charge of many things, and they were sharing in their master's happiness. On the other side of that, you get down the road in your life, and you've neglected the gifts that God's given you, and you look back and you go, what's the point? What have I done? I've worked. I've made some money. My life it feels empty. That's why your life will be empty if you've neglected the callings and the things, the responsibilities that God has given you to do. He's given us things to, what does it say? It says serve others. You have a gift to serve others. And finally, what people has God entrusted you with? What people has God entrusted to you? So when this verse stuck out to me, immediately I felt like the Lord just brought my kids into my mind. And I believe I'm doing a good job with them, but I just want to encourage you, parents, God's entrusted those kids to you. If you have children in your home, Psalms 127:3 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Look, he's given them to you, and he's entrusted them to you. And there is nothing more important that you as a parent will do than to teach them to follow the Lord. You can get them to have good grades and get a full ride scholarship in some sport and the whole thing, and if they graduate and they leave your house and they don't know Jesus, who cares? Who cares if they're successful and they go to hell? That is as blunt as I know how to say it, okay? And so I'm glad they're doing all the stuff, but you as a parent, you must train them and teach them to follow God. I'm teaching mine to follow God as much as I can. Because look, okay, my daughter, she did this little thing. We had this little thing and they could make some money. She made $25. And so I paid her $25. And you know what I said to her? Same thing my granddad said to me. I said, do you know how much of that goes to the Lord this Sunday? And she goes, $2.50. And she rounded it up to three. Okay. Because here's the thing. Who else is going to teach my daughter to tithe? Well, Pastor Matt's going to. Yes, he is. But I'll tell you who's going to make it happen. Mom and dad. You're going to set your kids up for such success if they can learn from that age to be a giver and not just everything I get is my own. It'll change their whole outlook on money, their whole outlook on life. I'll tell you what else I'm doing. I'm teaching them to pray. When we pray every night before bed. We pray every day before school. And sometimes I say, hey, I want you to pray. I don't know what to say. Well, I want you to thank God for one thing, and I want you to ask him for help for one thing. Okay, I can do that. I had to tell my daughter when we pray before meals, you can only pray for three things because I'm tired of waiting on my food. All right, three things is all because she's on and on and on. Okay, and I'm training them to do that. And so parents, you train your kids, you teach your kids. It's the most important thing God has entrusted you with as a parent. He's entrusted us with the people that he's put in your life. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and through God as though God were making his appeal through us. God has given us this ministry to help people come to him. And you have people in your life, if you go to work, if you're around people, that he has put there for you to help them come to Christ. He's entrusted you with it. He's not, most likely not going to send an angel to their house. He sent you. He's put you in their life. And how sad would it be for you to work somewhere next to somebody for 5 years and them never know about your faith and never know what God could do in their life? He's put people in you, entrusted them with you. All right. Are you being faithful with what or who God has entrusted to you? The last question I have. Are you being faithful with what or who God has given to you? To be faithful with it, you have to do something with it. You can't just bury it in the ground. You have to take responsibility and say, you know what? It's my responsibility to look at my finances and not waste them. No one's going to do it for you. Guaranteed, okay? The world is very happy with you just wasting it, okay? It's your responsibility to look. It's your responsibility to make sure that you're raising your family in the Lord. It's your responsibility to find ways to impact the lives of people around you. Nobody else is going to come and tell you what your gift is. Nobody else is going to do that. You're going to have to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What have you gifted me? How can I serve the kingdom of God? How can I further what you want to do? You need to take responsibility and do these things. And what is the result? You live in the blessings of God. He's going to give you authority. He's going to give you more. You're going to see abundance in your life. And don't look at the person who has 5 talents and go, well, if I had what they had, then I would really do something. That'll keep you from ever moving forward. If he's given you 0.25 talents, okay, you just go with that and you'll see the blessings on your life. You start with what he's given you. And boy, here's a cool thing. I've seen this in my own life. I think I was a 1 talent in something, and over time he's grown me to a 3 talent. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, I see it, and it just keeps growing, it keeps growing. And you just see more and more of his blessings in your life. Let's end with this verse. A faithful man, Proverbs 28:20, will be richly blessed. A faithful. Remember he said good and faithful servant. So we learned in this passage what a faithful person is like. They take responsibility for the things God has given them. They work with and do something with what God has given them. So, will you be faithful with what he's given you? With the money, the things, with the people, and with the gifts that he's given you, are you being faithful?